Section 12. Saving to Give. Chapter 56. Left to the Honor of Men. The only plan which the gospel has marked out for sustaining the work of God is one that leaves the support of his cause to the honor of men. With an eye single to the glory of God, men are to give to God the proportion which he has required. Viewing the cross of Calvary, looking upon the world's Redeemer, who for our sake became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich, we shall feel that we are not to lay up for ourselves treasures on the earth, but to lay up treasures in the bank of heaven, which will never suspend payment nor fail. The Lord has given Jesus to our world, and the question is, what can we give back to God in gifts and offerings to show our appreciation of his love? Freely ye have received, freely give. How much more eager will every faithful steward be to enlarge the proportion of gifts to be placed in the Lord's treasure house than to decrease his offering one jot or tittle? Whom is he serving? For whom is he preparing an offering? For the one upon whom he is dependent for every good thing which he enjoys. Then let not one of us who is receiving the grace of Christ give occasion for the angels to be ashamed of us, and for Jesus to be ashamed to call us brethren. Shall ingratitude be cultivated and made manifest by our niggardly practices in giving to the cause of God? No, no. Let us surrender ourselves a living sacrifice and give our all to Jesus. It is his. We are his purchased possession. Those who are recipients of his grace, who contemplate the cross of Calvary, will not question concerning the proportion to be given, but will feel that the richest offering is all too meager, all disproportionate to the great gift of the only begotten Son of the infinite God. Through self-denial, the poorest will find ways of obtaining something to give back to God. Stewardship of time. Time is money, and many are wasting precious time which might be used in useful labor, working with their hands the thing that is good. The Lord will never say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," to the man who has not taxed the physical powers which have been lent him of God as precious talents by which to gather means, wherewith the needy may be supplied, and offerings may be made to God. The rich are not to feel that they can be content in giving of their money merely. They have talents of ability, and they are to study to show themselves approved unto God, to be earnest spiritual agents in educating and training their children for fields of usefulness. Parents and children are not to regard themselves as their own, and feel that they can dispose of their time and property as shall please themselves. They are God's purchased possession, and the Lord calls for the profit of their physical powers, which are to be employed in bringing a revenue to the treasury of the Lord. Self-denial and the cross. Were the thousand channels of selfishness cut off that now exist, and the means directed in the right channel, there would be a large revenue flowing into the treasury. Many purchase idols with money that should go to the house of God. No one can practice real benevolence without practicing genuine self-denial. Self-denial and the cross lie directly in the path of every Christian who is truly following Christ. Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." Will every soul consider the fact that Christian discipleship includes self-denial, self-sacrifice, even to the laying down of life itself, if need be, for the sake of him who has given his life for the life of the world? Christians who view Christ upon the cross are bound by their obligation to God because of the infinite gift of his Son, to withhold nothing which they possess, however dear it may be to them. If they possess anything that can be employed to draw any soul, no matter how rich or no matter how poor, to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, they are to use it freely for this purpose. The Lord employs human agents to be co-workers with him in the salvation of sinners. All heaven is actively engaged in furnishing facilities by which to extend the knowledge of the truth to all peoples, nations, and tongues. If those who profess to have been truly converted do not let their light shine forth to others, they are neglecting the doing of the words of Christ. We need not tax ourselves with rehearsing how much has been given to the cause of God, but rather let us consider how much has been kept back from his treasury to be devoted to the indulgence of self in pleasure-seeking and self-gratification. We need not reckon up how many agents have been sent forth, but rather recount how many have closed the eyes of their understanding so that they might not see their duty and minister to others according to their several ability. How many might now be employed were there means in the treasury to sustain them in the work? How many facilities might be used in extending the work of God as His providence opens the way? Hundreds could be employed in the field in doing good in various branches, but they are not there. Why? Selfishness keeps them at home. They love ease, and so remain away from the vineyard of the Lord. Some would go into regions beyond, but they have not the means to take them, for others have left undone that which they ought to have done. These are some of the reasons why a few workers have to go loaded down as a cart beneath sheaves, while others take no burden. The dollar that might save a soul. The Lord has made provision that all may be reached by the message of truth, but the means placed in the hands of His stewards for this very purpose has been selfishly devoted to their own gratification. How much has been thoughtlessly wasted by our youth, spent for self-indulgence and display, for that which they would have been just as happy without. Every dollar which we possess is the Lord's. Instead of spending means for needless things, we should invest it in answering the calls of missionary work. As new fields are opened, the calls for means are constantly increasing. If ever we needed to exercise economy, it is now. All who labor in the cause should realize the importance of closely following the Savior's example of self-denial and economy. They should see in the means that they handle a trust which God has committed to them, and they should feel under obligation to exercise tact and financial ability in the use of their Lord's money. Every penny should be carefully treasured. A cent seems like a trifle, but 100 cents make a dollar, and rightly spent may be the means of saving a soul from death. If all the means which has been wasted by our own people in self-gratification had been devoted to the cause of God, there would be no empty treasuries, and missions could be established in all parts of the world. Let the members of the church now put away their pride and lay off their ornaments. Each should keep a missionary box at hand and drop into it every penny he is tempted to waste in self-indulgence. But something more must be done than merely to dispense with superfluities. Self-denial must be practiced. Some of our comfortable and desirable things must be sacrificed. The preachers must sharpen up their message, not merely assailing self-indulgence and pride in dress, but presenting Jesus, His life of self-denial and sacrifice. Let love, piety, and faith be cherished in the heart, and the precious fruits will appear in the life. Historical Sketches of the Foreign Missions of the Seventh-day Adventists, 293. Chapter 57. Words to the Youth. Much might be said to the young people regarding their privilege to help the cause of God by learning lessons of economy and self-denial. Many think that they must indulge in this pleasure and that, and in order to do this, they accustom themselves to live up to the full extent of their income. God wants us to do better in this respect. We sin against ourselves when we are satisfied with enough to eat and drink and wear. God has something higher than this before us. When we are willing to put away our selfish desires and give the powers of heart and mind to the work of the cause of God, heavenly agencies will cooperate with us, making us a blessing to humanity. Even though he may be poor, the youth who is industrious and economical can save a little for the cause of God. When I was only 12 years old, I knew what it was to economize. With my sister, I learned a trade, and although we would earn only 25 cents a day, from this sum we were able to save a little to give to missions. We saved little by little until we had $30. Then, when the message of the Lord's soon coming came to us, with a call for men and means, we felt it a privilege to hand over the $30 to Father, asking him to invest it in tracts and pamphlets to send the message to those who were in darkness. It is the duty of all who touch the work of God to learn economy in the use of time and money. Those who indulge in idleness reveal that they attach little importance to the glorious truths committed to us. They need to be educated in habits of industry and to learn to work with an eye single to the glory of God. Deny self and improve talent. Those who have not good judgment in the use of time and money should advise with those who have had experience. With the money that we had earned at our trade, my sister and I provided ourselves with clothes. We would hand our money to mother, saying, "Buy, so that after we have paid for our clothes, there will be something left to give for missionary work." And she would do this, thus encouraging in us a missionary spirit. The giving that is the fruit of self-denial is a wonderful help to the giver. It imparts an education that enables us more fully to comprehend the work of Him who went about doing good, relieving the suffering, and supplying the needs of the destitute. The Savior lived not to please Himself. In His life, there was no trace of selfishness. Children may learn self-denial. While parents are making sacrifices for the sake of advancing the cause of God, they should teach their children also to take part in this work. The children may learn to show their love for Christ by denying themselves needless trifles, for the purchase of which much money slips through their fingers. In every family, this work should be done. It requires tact and method, but it will be the best education the children can receive. And if all the little children would present their offerings to the Lord, their gifts would be as little rivulets, which, when united and set flowing, would swell into a river. The Lord looks with pleasure upon the little children who deny themselves, that they may make an offering to Him. He was pleased with the widow who put her 2 mites into the treasury, because she gave with a willing heart. The Savior thought her sacrifice in giving all that she had of more value than the large gifts of the rich men, who made no sacrifice in order to give. And He is glad when the little ones are willing to deny self, that they may become laborers together with Him who loved them, and took them in His arms and blessed them. Keep account of income and outgoes. In the study of figures, the work should be made practical. Let every youth and every child be taught, not merely to solve imaginary problems, but to keep an accurate account of his own income and outgoes. Let him learn the right use of money by using it. Whether supplied by their parents or by their own earnings, let boys and girls learn to select and purchase their own clothing, their books, and other necessities. And by keeping an account of their expenses, they will learn, as they could learn in no other way, the value and the use of money. This training will help them to distinguish true economy from niggardliness on the one hand and prodigality on the other. Rightly directed, it will encourage habits of benevolence. It will aid the youth in learning to give, not from the mere impulse of the moment, as their feelings are stirred, but regularly and systematically. Following Satan's suggestions. How the enemy has wrought to place temporal things above spiritual. Many families who have but little to spare for God's cause will yet spend money freely to purchase rich furniture or fashionable clothing. How much is spent for the table, and often for that which is only a hurtful indulgence? How much for presents that benefit no one? Many spend considerable sums for photographs to give to their friends. Picture-taking is carried to extravagant lengths and encourages a species of idolatry. How much more pleasing to God it would be if all this means were invested in publications which would direct souls to Christ and the precious truths for this time. The money wasted on needless things would supply many a table with reading matter on present truth, which would prove a savor of life unto life. Satan's suggestions are carried out in many, many things. Our birthday anniversaries and Christmas and Thanksgiving festivals are too often devoted to selfish gratification, when the mind should be directed to the mercy and loving kindness of God. God is displeased that His goodness, His constant care, His unceasing love are not brought to mind on these anniversary occasions. If all the money that is used extravagantly, for needless things, were placed in the treasury of God, we should see men and women and youth giving themselves to Jesus, and doing their part to cooperate with Christ and angels. The richest blessing of God would come into our churches, and many souls would be converted to the truth. Birthdays and holidays. Parents are to bring up and educate and train their children in habits of self-control and self-denial. They are ever to keep before them their obligation to obey the Word of God and to live for the purpose of serving Jesus. They are to educate their children that there is need of living in accordance with simple habits in their daily life, and to avoid expensive dress, expensive diet, expensive houses, and expensive furniture. The terms upon which eternal life will be ours are set forth in these words: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy neighbor as thyself. Parents have not taught their children the precepts of the law as God has commanded them. They have educated them in selfish habits. They have taught them to regard their birthdays and holidays as occasions when they expect to receive gifts, and to follow the habits and customs of the world. These occasions, which should serve to increase the knowledge of God and to awaken thankfulness of heart for His mercy and love in preserving their lives for another year, are turned into occasions for self-pleasing, for the gratification and glorification of the children. They have been kept by the power of God through every moment of their life, and yet parents do not teach their children to think of this and to express thanksgiving for His mercy toward them. If children and youth had been properly instructed in this age of the world, what honor, what praise and thanksgiving would flow from their lips to God? What a revenue of small gifts would be brought from the hands of the little ones to be put into His treasury as thank offerings? God would be remembered instead of forgotten. Not only on birthdays should parents and children remember the mercies of the Lord in a special way, but Christmas and New Year's should also be seasons when every household should remember their Creator and Redeemer. Instead of bestowing gifts and offerings in such abundance on human objects, reverence, honor, and gratitude should be rendered to God, and gifts and offerings should be caused to flow in the divine channel. Would not the Lord be pleased with such a remembrance of Him? Oh, how God has been forgotten on these occasions! When you have a holiday, make it a pleasant and happy day for your children, and make it also a pleasant day for the poor and the afflicted. Do not let the day pass without bringing thanksgiving and thank offerings to Jesus. Let parents and children now make earnest effort to redeem the time and to remedy their past neglect. Let them follow a different course of action from that which the world follows. There are many things which can be devised with taste and cost far less than the unnecessary presents that are so frequently bestowed upon our children and relatives, and thus courtesy can be shown and happiness brought into the home. You can teach your children a lesson while you explain to them the reason why you have made a change in the value of their presence, telling them that you are convinced that you have hitherto considered their pleasure more than the glory of God. Tell them that you have thought more of your own pleasure and of their gratification and of keeping in harmony with the customs and traditions of the world, in making presents to those who did not need them, than you have of advancing the cause of God. Like the wise men of old, you may offer to God your best gifts, and show by your offerings to Him that you appreciate His gift to a sinful world. Set your children's thoughts running in a new, unselfish channel by inciting them to present offerings to God for the gift of His only begotten Son. Chapter 58. A Plea for Economy. There should be no extravagance in building fine homes, in buying costly furniture, in indulging in worldly dress, or in providing luxurious food, but in everything, let us think of the souls for whom Christ has died. Let selfishness and pride die. Let none continue to expend means to multiply pictures to be sent to their friends. Let us save every dollar that can be saved, that the matchless charms of Christ may be presented before the souls of the perishing. Satan will suggest many ways in which you may expend money, but if it is spent for self-gratification, for unnecessary things, no matter how trifling their cost, it is not spent for the glory of God. Let us look well to this matter and see if we are denying ourselves as we should. Are we making sacrifices that we may send the light of truth to the lost? There should be but one interest in the church. One desire should control all, and that is the desire to conform to the image of Christ. Each one should strive to do for Jesus all that it is possible for him to do, by personal effort, by gifts, by sacrifices. There should be meat in the house of the Lord, and that means a full treasury, that responses may be made to Macedonian cries coming from every land. How pitiful it is that we are obliged to say to these who cry for help, "We cannot send you men or money. We have an empty treasury." Let all the pennies, dimes, and dollars that are lost to the cause through selfish love of pleasure, through desire to meet the world's standard, through love of ease, be turned into the channel that flows to God's treasury. It is the rills flowing into one that finally make the river. Let us be conscientious Christians, be laborers together with God. New fields of work must be opened. Souls are to be added to the faith. New names will appear on the church records, names that will appear in the immortal records in heaven. Oh, that we might realize what might be done with the money expended for the gratification of self. A partner in God's firm. The cause of God is ever demanding. Industry is therefore required on the part of all, high and low, rich and poor, in order that due returns may be made to God, that there may be meat in his house, and that the servants whom he has called to do the work of communicating the truth to a perishing world may be supported. Not only does God require the tithe, but he requires that all we have be used to his glory. There must be no spendthrift habits. It is God's property that we are handling. Not $1 or 1 shilling is our own. The squandering of money in luxuries deprives the poor of the means necessary to supply them with food and clothing. That which is spent for the gratification of pride in dress, in buildings, in furniture, and in decorations would relieve the distress of many wretched, suffering families. God's stewards are to minister to the needy. This is the fruit of pure and undefiled religion. The Lord condemns men for their selfish indulgence while their fellow beings are suffering for the want of food and clothing. The Lord calls upon every one of his children to let heaven's light, the light of his own unselfish love, shine out amid the darkness of this degenerate age. If he sees you acknowledge him as the possessor of yourself and all your possessions, if he sees you use your entrusted means as a faithful steward, he will register your name in the books of heaven as a laborer together with him, a partner in his great firm, to work in behalf of your fellow men. And joy will be yours in the final day, as it is seen that the means wisely used in helping others has caused through you thanksgiving to God. The care of the mites. I wish I could impress on every mind the grievous sinfulness of wasting the Lord's money on fancied wants. The expenditure of sums that look small may start a train of circumstances that will reach into eternity. When the judgment shall sit and the books are opened, the losing side will be presented to your view, the good that you might have done with the accumulated mites and the larger sums that were used for wholly selfish purposes. Jesus does not require of man any real sacrifice, for whatever we are asked to surrender is only that which we are better off without. We are only letting go the lesser, the more worthless, for the greater, the more valuable. Every earthly, temporal consideration must be subordinate to the higher. Then the message will go with power. God's people should practice strict economy in their outlay of means, that they may have something to bring to him, saying, "Of thine own have we given thee." Thus they are to offer God thanksgiving for the blessings received from him. Thus, too, they are to lay up for themselves treasure beside the throne of God. Worldlings spend upon dress large sums of money that ought to be used to feed and clothe those suffering from hunger and cold. Many for whom Christ gave his life have barely sufficient of the cheapest, most common clothing, while others spend thousands of dollars in the efforts to satisfy the never-ending demands of fashion. The Lord has charged his people to come out from the world and be separate. Gay or expensive clothing is not becoming to those who believe that we are living in the last days of probation. I will therefore, the Apostle Paul writes, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but, which becometh women professing godliness, with good works. Even among those who profess to be children of God, there are those who spend more than is necessary upon dress. We should dress neatly and tastefully, but, my sisters, when you are buying and making your own and your children's clothing, think of the work in the Lord's vineyard that is still waiting to be done. It is right to buy good material and have it carefully made. This is economy. But rich trimmings are not needed, and to indulge in them is to spend for self-gratification money that should be put into God's cause. It is not your dress that makes you of value in the Lord's sight. It is the inward adorning, the graces of the Spirit, the kind word, the thoughtful consideration for others that God values. Do without the unnecessary trimmings, and lay aside for the advancement of the cause of God the means thus saved. Learn the lesson of self-denial, and teach it to your children. All that can be saved by self-denial is needed now in the work to be done. The suffering must be relieved, the naked clothed, the hungry fed. The truth for this time must be told to those who know it not. By denying ourselves of that which is not necessary, we may have a part in the great work of God. We are Christ's witnesses, and we are not to allow worldly interests so to absorb our time and attention that we pay no heed to the things that God has said must come first. There are higher interests at stake. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Christ gave His all to the work that He came to do, and His word to us is, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. So shall ye be my disciples." Willingly and cheerfully Christ gave Himself to the carrying out of the will of God. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Shall we feel it a hardship to deny ourselves? Shall we draw back from being partakers of His sufferings? His death ought to stir every fiber of the being, making us willing to consecrate to His work all that we have and are. As we think of what He has done for us, our hearts should be filled with love. When those who know the truth practice the self-denial enjoined in God's Word, the message will go with power. The Lord will hear our prayers for the conversion of souls. God's people will let their light shine forth, and unbelievers, seeing their good works, will glorify our Heavenly Father. Let us relate ourselves to God in self-sacrificing obedience. Progress despite poverty. There were but very few of us to carry forward the work at first, and it was very necessary for us to be of one mind in order to have the work advance with order and uniformity. When we saw the importance of being in the unity of faith, our prayers were answered, and Christ's prayer was answered that we should be one as He was one with the Father. We were as destitute of means as you are here in these kingdoms, and we frequently went hungry, and suffered from cold for want of proper clothing. But we saw that the truth must advance, and we must have means to carry it forward. We then sought the Lord most earnestly that He would open ways that we might reach the people in the different cities and towns, and my husband and myself would have to work with our hands to get means to carry us from place to place, to open the treasures of faith to others. We could see that the Lord of Heaven was preparing the way before us in the work. My husband has worked at handling stone till the skin was worn from his fingers, and the blood started from the wounds, that he might get means to carry him from place to place to speak to the people the words of truth. This is the way the work went in the beginning, and our petitions must now ascend to the God of Heaven as they did then, that He will open the way, and the truth find access to hearts. The gold and the silver are the Lord's. The cattle upon the thousand hills are His. But He wants you to move forward in faith just as far and as fast as you can. The Lord's blessing will rest upon those who do to the very best of their ability. When the Scriptures were opened in the Piedmont valleys, the truth was carried forward by those who were very poor in this world's goods. Those who had Bible truth were not allowed to bring it before the people. They could not get Bibles into families. So they went as merchants selling goods, and carried parts of the Bible with them. And when they saw that it would do, they would read from the Scriptures. And those who were hungering for truth could in this way obtain light. With bare and bleeding feet, these men traveled over the hard rocks of the mountains in order that they might reach souls and open to them the words of life. I wish the very same spirit that animated them was in the heart of everyone who professes the truth at the present time. We can every one of us do something if we will only take the position that God would have us. Every move that you make to enlighten others brings you nearer in harmony with the God of heaven. If you sit down and look at yourself and say, "I can barely support my family," you will never do anything. But if you say, "I will do something for the truth. I will see it advance. I will do what I can," God will open ways so that you can do something. You should invest in the cause of truth so that you will feel that you are a part of it.
God does not require of the man to whom he has given one talent the interest of 10. Remember that it was the man who had one talent that wrapped it in a napkin and hid it in the earth. You should use the talent, influence, and means which God has given you that you may act a part in this work. For further study, Cherishing the Spirit of Sacrifice, Testimonies for the Church 9:130-131, A Plea for Money Spent Needlessly, Testimonies for the Church 9:54-55, Jewels and Expensive Dress, The Ministry of Healing, 287-288, Never Called Upon for a Real Sacrifice, The Ministry of Healing, 473-474, Economy, Not Stinginess Nor Narrowness, The Ministry of Healing, 206, Gather Up the Fragments, The Ministry of Healing, 207, Examples of the Pioneers, Testimonies for the Church 7:216-217. When traveling, Testimonies for the Church 5:400. They sent their treasures beforehand, Testimonies for the Church 1:191-192. Saving by Acts of Self-Denial, Testimonies for the Church 9:157. Workers to Minimize Expense, Testimonies for the Church 4:299. If conscience were alive, she would testify to needless expenditures. Testimonies for the Church 3:401-402. Teaching children economy in the home. Testimonies for the Church 6:450-451. Teaching youth the use of money. Testimonies for the Church 6:214-215. Asking, "Will a less expensive article do?" Testimonies for the Church 4:511. A Spirit of Willing Service and Joyous Self-Denial, Prophets and Kings 64:65. Is Giving a Privilege or a Task? Testimonies for the Church 1:170. Those Who Are Economical from Principle, Testimonies for the Church 4:453.